It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. Labor Day weekend is often a chance for people in Wisconsin to cram in some last-minute summer fun before switching to pumpkin spice lattes and bobble hats and mittens. A cookout is a good way to get in that last hurrah. We're getting tips from an expert on how to grill the tastiest meat, poultry, and veggies, and we're going to hear about all the best accoutrements to help us get the job done. How often do you cook on the grill? What do you love to throw on the Barbie? Have you learned any tricks through trial and error? Do you want to share them with us? How do you go about cleaning your grill, for example? Do you do it every time? And what advice and tips do you have for others? What about smoking meat? Have you tried that and how's that worked out? Share your thoughts, questions, and ideas at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or ideas at WPR.org. Our guest is Mark Mathewson, better known as Mad Dog. He's a nationally recognized and self-proclaimed grillologist, and he co-hosts the TV show Mad Dog and Merrill's Midwest Grillin'. Good morning, Mad Dog, and thanks for joining us on Wisconsin Weekend.
Well, thank you, John. It's time to get up and fire up the grill, I think.
That's right. It's always a good time to fire up the grill, as far as I'm concerned. When we're preparing to have some people over for a cookout, one of the things we have to think about is, well, how much do we want to cook? So how do we assess how much meat, chicken, and veggies we're going to need?
You know, I think it goes down to your grill itself and how much room you have on the grill. I mean, if you're going to fire up the grill, fill it up and fire it up and have some leftovers. People are doing a lot of smoking nowadays on the Komodo-style grill, on pellet grills, on side box smokers. Well, you know, if you're going to fire it up and use a lot of time, you might as well fill it up and do an extra brisket, an extra pork shoulder, maybe some ribs on the grill on the side so you have leftovers. So it's all individuality.
What about grilling accessories? What are some things that are essential to the process to make sure that we can move food around and keep a good handle on it?
Well, you know, cuts of meat, John. Cuts of meat are getting leaner and leaner, and when we accessorize nowadays, we're talking about plank cooking, like cedar and red oak planks. We're talking about injectables. We're talking about having nice roast holders and things like that. You know, the tongs and the spatulas are always there. You can always reach for those, but because cuts of meat are getting leaner and leaner, we have to treat them with a little more tender, loving care, so that we don't overcook them and dry them out.
And what about the importance of a meat thermometer? I have to confess that that's something I've only adopted in the last couple of years. I used to just eyeball everything, but what about that meat thermometer? How important is that?
You know, John, the old days of using your index finger, your middle finger, and your ring finger and pushing on the palm of your hand to see what's rare, medium rare, and well done, it's over with. There's beautiful meat thermometers out there where you can sit on your recliner on your roast and read an app from your house on how much your temperature the temperature of the meat product on the grill. Myself, I have a beautiful digitally one. It's about $30, a nice digital meat thermometer. It's an instant read. I never dreamt in 38 years I'd have a meat thermometer, but man, it really comes in handy.
Boy, I have to say, since I started using mine, it really has improved the results. Mad Dog is a nationally recognized and self-proclaimed grillologist. He co-hosts the TV show Mad Dog and Merrill's Midwest Grillin'. We're talking about Labor Day weekend grilling. We want to know what you're throwing on the grill this weekend. 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Mad Dog, you mentioned just a moment ago the Komodo-style grill. Can you explain how that's different than other grills?
You know, the Asians have been cooking on it for 2,000 years. It's like an inch and a half of ceramic, and it's a global shape, and it holds the moisture, so there's no need for adding moisture to it because the ceramic actually holds the moisture in the meat product, and it just cooks it gorgeously. I mean, there's a plate setter that you set in the center where heat hits the bottom, diverts around, and gives you the indirect cooking, or you use natural lump charcoal. It's all organic, natural lump. It's just pure wood, you know, that's been dried down to a certain point, and you can fire that baby up to 1,100-1,200 degrees, and you can take a tuna steak and sear it like 2 minutes aside, get it medium rare, and it's just the most I'm getting hungry, John.
Wow, you know, I think it's time for steak and eggs.
Exactly.
Let's talk about what meats work well on the grill. Are there certain kinds or cuts that are better for the flames than others?
You know, there are certain cuts. You know, I mentioned cuts of meat are getting leaner and leaner, and God love the grass-fed beef people. But, you know, give me a big porterhouse black Angus steak with a lot of marbleization on it and sear it up, and you got that little marbleization in there that holds the moisture, adds moisture as you're cooking, and keeps it tender. With the other cuts of meat, what I do, John, 90% of the time, I sear a cut of meat up on one side where there's heat. I move it to a side where there is no heat, and I treat everything like a little roast, whether it's lean cuts of pork, lean cuts of beef, chicken breast. Sear them up on one side where there's heat, move them to a side where there is no heat. Use your meat thermometer in a few minutes to check the temperature, and that way you can relax a little bit better.
Yeah, and of course, grilling a steak is a lot different than a prepackaged hot dog. I like my steaks Pittsburgh style, maybe not so much that hot dog.
Exactly right. You know, what I suggest to people who like their steaks rare is, my dad taught me this, and he's 90 years old, and he still does it. Stick the darn thing in the freezer. Season it up, package it up, put it in the freezer for about a half hour before you present it to the grill, and it gets that little frothiness where it stays cool on the inside but chars on the outside.
Ooh. He
goes so far as to put his on frozen and just chars the dickens on the outside the way he likes it, but it stays beautiful rare on the inside.
Man, now you're really making me hungry.
Isn't that the truth?
What about vegetables? How about cooking? That's something that people have started doing, a lot of cooking vegetables on the grill. What's the best way to do that?
You know, we've done a lot of shows, our TV show in the last few weeks. We've taped a lot for our good friends with the Native American tribes of Wisconsin. We did indigenous cooking, and I did some beautiful stuff, squash. I've done carrots. Brussels sprouts are just coming into season. Take some Brussels sprouts. I call it individuality. When you take vegetables and you throw it in a stock pot with some hocks, you got the flavor of the hocks, and it's delicious. But when you throw them on the grill, it's individuality. Everything tastes individually. The carrots are phenomenal, the Brussels sprouts, the potatoes. I take acorn squash and a good sharp knife and a steady hand, and I cut it into rings about an inch and a half thick. Hollow out the seeds if there are some in the center, oil them a little bit. John, we oil 85 to 90% of all meat products before we put them on the grill. Cuts of meat are getting leaner and leaner. If you put it on the grill dry, it comes off dry. But I'll sear those acorn squash rings up, and then I'll glisten them with a little bit of honey glaze or a maple syrup glaze or an apple butter glaze and serve them up. They're phenomenal.
Mm. And, of course, a lot of people like to do corn on the grill as well. That's pretty popular. What's the best way to cook those ears of corn we're getting now at the roadside stands?
You know, tradition has it. We leave the husks on it. We submerge it in water. You char it up on the grill. You know, but it's the messiest thing known to mankind. A real fast, real quick recipe. I'll strip the ears of corn with strip the husk and the silk off the corn. I'll take a sheet of aluminum foil and a sheet of paper toweling the same size. So a sheet of paper toweling, a sheet of aluminum foil. Place the aluminum foil on the countertop, sheet of paper toweling on top. And I'm going to tell a recipe here. Take some Wisconsin red or white wine. Do a little cap full of red or white wine right in the center of the paper toweling. Put the sweet corn at one edge. Melt some good Wisconsin butter. Drizzle it over the top. Add a little salt and pepper, your favorite seasoning. Spice it up a little bit. Dice up some garlic and put it on there. Dice up some fresh dill or put it on there. And then you roll it up in the paper toweling, and then you roll it in reverse in the aluminum foil. And we're not chefs, but it infuses the flavor gorgeously. And it's not really the charred flavor of the grill, but it sure is delicious.
Wow, that sounds terrific.
Yeah, I got about 100 recipes for them dang sweet corn.
you mentioned fish earlier. Do we want seafood to share space with our other foods?
Oh, well, because we're intermingling them?
Yeah.
It's absolutely fine. I think a surf and turf meal is the most phenomenal thing in the world. Shrimp is fantastic on the grill. My favorite and everybody's favorite because it's forgiving is salmon. It's got those rich omegas in there. It's good for you. When we do salmon on the grill, you leave the skin on it because research found out in the last few years that the majority of the omegas, the oils, lie between the skin and the flesh or the meat of the salmon. So if we leave the skin on, it doesn't dry out. Plus, it protects it from the heat. So you lightly oil the salmon, season it up, put a little brown sugar on top, slap it skin side down. When those natural juices, the proteins perk, it turned white and perked to the top, that's when the salmon's done. It's rich in omegas, it's rich in calcium, and it's beautiful protein for people.
Quickly, before we go to break here, what are some of your favorite rubs to use on meats, chicken, and vegetables?
Oh, God. John, here's what you do. You get yourself a coffee grinder. If you don't have one, if you love the flavor of coffee, throw about a small handful of coffee beans in there. I throw our Grandma Hazel seasoning there. It's like the old Montreal or steak seasoning. Throw a little handful of that in there, some red pepper flakes, zap it down really nice and fine, double its size with brown sugar, and you got the best rub in the world. But before we go to break, now you go down those teas where all those you sell the teas by the ounces, and you get the ginger lime tea, you get the mandarin, spiced mandarin, or you get the chai tea. And you, in place of the coffee beans, you add those teas and zap them in that coffee grinder and double its size in brown sugar with the spices that we've added. And you can experiment, and that's what's fun about Grillology.
Wow, this is mouthwatering. We're talking about grilling on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend with Mad Dog, who hosts the TV show Mad Dog and Merrill's Midwest Grillin'. He's with us to answer your grilling questions as we head into Labor Day weekend. What's your favorite food to put on the grill? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. I'm John Munson. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. We're talking about grilling on this Labor Day weekend edition of Wisconsin Weekend. Mad Dog is a nationally recognized and self-proclaimed grillologist, and he hosts the TV show Mad Dog and Merrill's Midwest Grillin'. All right, Mad Dog, let's talk about sides. What's a fan favorite that you like to bust out when you're hosting a cookout?
Sides on the grill. Oh, my gosh. Let's see. I guess it has to be like little hors d'oeuvres or something like that. You know what I'm saying? I'll take a slice of summer sausage. It sounds crazy. It's a heart attack waiting to happen, John, but it's delicious. I'll take a thin slice of summer sausage. I'll put a piece of pepperoni on top of that, and I'll put a little smoky on top of that, and I'll roll it up and I'll skewer it with a pick, and I call it my three little pigs.
And of course, it's Wisconsin, so we probably should. It's Wisconsin, so we probably should put some cheese on it at some point, though, right?
You know something? I'll take a summer sausage, and I'll put a dab of, like, I'm going to say a name brand here. I'm apologize. Merck's cheese spread right in the center of it, and I'll squeeze it into a little U-shape and skewer it with a pick, and I'll put that on the grill just for a minute or two to melt that cheese. Or a cheese curd. You know, take a cheese curd, put it inside that little summer sausage, and roll it up, you know, just curl it up and skewer it through with a pick and put those, you know, they fit just gorgeously right on top of the individually in between the little grates of the grill. So They're kind of fun to work with. Dice up a little, you know, here's the point. Badgers, tailgating, put a little red pepper and white onions on top.
Packers, there we go.
Put a little yellow and green peppers on top of it. You know, do the color theme when you're tailgating. That's the best fun. You know, there's no right or wrong when you're tailgating, John. Just do the team colors, and if you think about it, there's so much you can do.
If it tastes good, it must be right. We had a listener who wanted to know where he could find all of these recipes. Where can people go if they want to check some of this stuff out?
You know, MadDogAndMerrill.com. MadDogAndMerrill.com is a great website, and I ask. Everyone to go on there just to look at the listings of television stations that air our show, and we've been blessed. There are 33 states, 100 different markets right now throughout the United States that our show does air each and every week, and it airs year-round. So we've been blessed. We have a great time. It's a lot of fun. I can't believe after 38 years of doing this. This is the 10th year of our television show. And it's just a hoot. It's just fun. You know, it's like hosting a television show or helping to host a radio show. I mean, it's just a lot of fun, and you get to meet so many and talk to so many different people. It's amazing.
And we do have a link to the
website. But now, John, back to grilling.
we have a link to your website on the morning show page at WPR.org. Okay, so let's pick a different kind of side. When it comes to taste and ease of use, what kind of grill do you think is best? Charcoal, gas, ooh, pellet grills? Pick one.
When we started 38 years ago, it's like when we started 38 years ago, there were bratwurst, they were fresh, and you had one choice. Now you go into a butcher shops. God love the butcher shops that have been cropping up in the last few years. You can go in there and get 40 different types of bratwurst, and they're still creating more each and every day. It's the same as the grill industry. It's a phenomenal thing. There's beautiful pellet grills are phenomenal. The Komodo style grills that we talked about are wonderful. The gas grills are endless. The charcoal grills, people are going back to them on the weekends because they can sit back and relax, and they know that's what it should be all about. But for fast and furious cooking, electric grills, there's some great electric grills out there, John, that can actually sear hamburgers and steaks now rather than just gray them like they used to, turn them gray, the meats. I mean, so it's a wonderful world when it comes to grills. Wood pellet pizza ovens, you can do it all right in your backyard. It's amazing.
So what is it about grilling that makes it so such a fun and relaxing activity for people? Why do we love it so much?
Well, you know, it must be really, really fun and relaxing because the ladies are getting into the market, too. 70% of the ladies that we talk to when we do stage presentations fire up the grills nowadays. And I think it's just one of those where you can set your mind, you get outside, you set your mind away from the household chores on the inside, and you can just fire up the grill. It smells great. You have that beautiful smoky, charred flavor when you're done. And I think people are experimenting a little more, getting rid of the blasé steaks and hamburgers, and experimenting, and that can be fun. It's just okay. A family event, and that's what it's all about.
And that's a great place to leave it. Thanks, Mad Dog, so much for joining us this morning. I really appreciate your time.
John, anytime, please.
Mark Mathewson, better known as Mad Dog, is a nationally recognized and self-proclaimed grillologist. He co-hosts the TV show Mad Dog and Merrill's Midwest Grillin', and we have a link to his website on the morning show page at WPR.org. Now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with the answer to a Why Wisconsin question about decorated barns.
We recently received a question from a listener named Cassie. She asked, who do we contact about getting a barn quilt in Shawano County? Now, you should first note that Shawano County is the self-proclaimed barn quilt capital of Wisconsin. In this northeastern county, you can find more than 350 barns with brightly colored geometric quilt squares painted on the side. WPR's Patty Murray met up with the couple who paints the quilts on plywood and installs them on the barns. The Leuenbergers drove her on the back roads to point out some of their handiwork.
Shawano County is mostly farmland and is dotted with many iconic red Wisconsin dairy barns. Go around a back roads corner or speed by on Highway 29 and you'll see them. Jim and Irene Leuenberger paint them in the basement of the local Chamber of Commerce. They were inspired by quilts in other states like Ohio and decided to bring the art of barn quilts to Wisconsin.
And sometimes the patterns, if they're simpler, are really show up better. Because if there's too much detail and you can't get that close to the barn, you don't see the detail.
Especially when you're driving by at like
right.
60,
yeah. right.
50, 60
exactly.
miles an hour.
Right.
We're now coming up to a barn on the left. They're retired dairy farmers. They don't have cows anymore. But we take this route a lot on our bus tours. But since we put the quilt on here, and this is one of the first ones, look how nice it looks. I mean, it hasn't deteriorated one tiny bit. But they've put new windows in the barn. They've put a new door. They've landscaped it because they know a lot of people are going to take pictures, you know, which is pretty cool.
That's gorgeous.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's just, again, a simple pattern.
And it's got the lightning rods on top.
Yeah.
Yep. That is a classic Wisconsin
barn. It is. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Irene says the quilts cost a couple $100 in materials. She says almost anyone can make one.
We actually put two coats of primer on the barn quilts, both sides, because you want it also on the back side to preserve the wood, and especially if it's up against a barn. And then we put three coats of paint on the front side. So that's five coats of paint. If people have the space, you know, and give them a little encouragement, they could learn how to paint a barn quilt.
Some quilts depict professions of the barn owners, such as cows, pumpkins, or even a barber pole. A little artistic inspiration doesn't hurt either.
The next one we're coming up to, I call it an Andy Warhol look. The lady here brought this pattern to me and wanted to know what I thought of it. And this is when you see it, you'll see what I mean. But I just love the colors. I love lime green. It's four horse heads that are really neat. One of my favorite quilts. And I know I say that a lot, too. I tend to repeat myself on our bus tours. I said, coming up is one of my favorite quilts. 3 minutes later, I'll say the same thing. What do you think? Think it looks
That's
like
awesome.
You think it looks like Andy Warhol?
Yeah, Andy Warhol meets My Little Pony almost.
Jim and Irene Lugenberger say they haven't lost a barn quilt yet due to deterioration or fire over their 9-year project. Knock on wood.
WPR's Patty Murray took us on a tour of Shawano County's barn quilts. And this story idea came from an audience question as part of the Wisconsin Project. Submit your question and we might answer it in a future Wisconsin Life segment. Go to WPR.org/Wisconsin. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Maureen McCollum.
Wisconsin Life is part of our weekly edition of Wisconsin Weekend on the Morning Show. Send your ideas to mornings@wpr.org and we'll take a look. I'm John Munson. It's the Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.